Monday night, May 6th at the Hyatt Regency in San Francisco, you're invited to join athletes and celebs at the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame Enshrinement Dinner. Be there to celebrate this year's class featuring Olympic swimmer Jenny Thompson, San Jose Earthquakes legend Chris Wondolowski, Niners Super Bowl hero John Taylor, Sharks icon Patrick Marleau, and the architect of the Giants dynasty, Brian Sabian. Be a part of this star-studded evening benefiting Special Olympics Northern California. To purchase tickets, visit bashoff.org. That's BASHOF.org.
And it shoots and scores! Tomas Hurdle hits the jackpot!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Scores! Logan Couture wins it in overtime!
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Here come the Sharks. A quick shot from the left wing. They score! Oh, what a play down the left wing side. The San Jose Sharks in the offensive zone getting control of the puck. And somehow Cam Talbot gets beaten on the play. Tomas Hurdle just on the ice on the change. Beat everybody to it. From the left circle, he drills it home. Sharks 1, Wild nothing.
Real frustrating. You know, I think that we were looking for that kind of game. Response game after our last couple games, and we got it. I mean, we played hard. We did a lot of great things out there. I wish we'd been on a power play a little more, and I think there's a few high sticks missed. I think that was the difference in the game. We only give up 15 shots, 5-on-5, so tough to break down that game and say that we didn't come out, we didn't respond, and we didn't play well. I thought all those things happened.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, that was a tough one last night. I don't have any problem with the way the Sharks played. I mean, that was my ultimate takeaway, and that's the way that you want to lose a game, right? Is you want to play well, and you want to be defeated not of your own mistakes. You want to be defeated because you were simply outplayed. Two goals in 65 seconds from the Minnesota Wild were the difference maker in this one. It went from a 1-1 game to a 3-1 game, and that was all she wrote, right? But the Sharks rectified a lot of mistakes from the previous three losses and played significantly better against the Wild. I mean, they came out with energy. The Sharks have been very, very flat out of the gate in their most recent performances. And in this game, the Sharks came out with a very, very high level of intensity. And not only did they come out with intensity, but they also took the lead and played a very good game, even when they surrendered the lead. And the way that the lead was surrendered, you have a clearance that just kind of bounces high slot, and then it goes just perfectly for where a shot can get off. That's just the way it goes sometimes. And I feel like that's it, how it is for the Sharks in this game, just the way it goes sometimes. I know there's a lot of people who are frustrated about the lack of calls on high sticking, and we can talk about that a little bit more later, but that is just the way it goes sometimes. But the Sharks were looking to rectify what they had done so poorly over the previous few games, and they played better, and they still lost. It goes back to that old saying of, you can do everything right and still end up with the wrong result or the wrong answer, and that's what happened to the Sharks last night. But you have to appreciate that there is still the fight there, and you have to appreciate that they are not giving up in any way, shape, or form. And I expect a big bounce back tonight, and even though Bob Bugner said in the postgame he does not know who he's going to put in front of the net, I would imagine it's going to be Martin Jones once again. Let's take a look at these division standings now. After 43 games, the Sharks still sit in sixth place in the West Division. They have now played one more game than the St. Louis Blues with 43 games versus 42, and the Blues play the Coyotes tonight. But the Sharks, 43 games played, 18 wins, 21 losses, 4 overtime losses, 40 points on the year. That's 3 points back of Arizona, 44 games played, who, of course, the Sharks still have a game in hand on, 19 wins, 20 losses, 5 overtime losses, and then St. Louis, 42 games played, 19 wins, 17 losses, 6 overtime losses. And tonight, the Blues and Arizona go at it, so you're hoping that Arizona gets a clean win, just 2 points, no overtime for St. Louis, because then they would be 5 points ahead of San Jose. They would leapfrog St. Louis, well, maybe not in wins percentage, but they would have more wins overall. But the overall sentiment is it is better to be down by 5 points than if St. Louis won and was up by 6 points. And the Sharks, I know that people are going to say, well, the writing is on the wall. But in my opinion, and I think this is the opinion of the guys in the room and how they are playing, is that unless they are mathematically eliminated, they are still going to be in this. And I'm viewing the Sharks as still in this until they are not. The schedule's not going to be easy. I know that a lot of the remaining games are against some of the upper echelon teams in their division, but there is no reason for the Sharks not to be able to bounce back. The unfortunate thing is that much as we saw earlier in the year, these trends of a slide, one loss was not immediately countered by two wins. One loss turned into two losses, turned into three losses, and is now turned into four straight losses. And what is remarkable is that in spite of that, they are still just 4 points back of St. Louis. Now, obviously, that scenario is going to change after tonight, but the Sharks are still in this hunt. However, it is seeming less and less likely that they will be able to get into the playoffs, but I am not giving up hope, and especially with the way that the Sharks played last night. Again, you looked at the flat performances of those previous games and said this team is hurting themselves. They are shooting themselves in the foot. They are having self-inflicted losses. They are losing to inferior opponents. The Sharks last night went toe-to-toe with the Wild. And like I said, it was 65 seconds where Minnesota scored two goals, bang, bang, and suddenly it goes from a 1-1 game to a 3-1 game. That was the difference maker. And unfortunately, against those upper echelon teams, it is going to be something like maybe 65 seconds of less than perfect focus or less than perfect play, or that you just simply cannot let down for even a moment. Because a team like the Wild, who are one of the pleasant surprises in the NHL this year, have been playing above their heads, in my opinion, they will make you pay for it. It's 60 minutes of effort. It's 60 minutes of being engaged. It's not having a letdown. For the Sharks, they had a mini letdown over the course of less than a minute and 10 seconds, right? And that was the difference maker in this game. So they know what they did right. They can build upon that. They can try and maybe get the puck a little bit deeper and not work from the blue line so much because Minnesota is so good at blocking shots. But I think that they saw what they did well last night, and they're going to look at that and say, what can we replicate? The easiest thing to replicate for the Sharks from last night into tonight's game was the effort. Churning the legs, moving, making things happen. I loved the first period of that game, even though it's 1-1 when all is said and done. Just because you saw the effort, just because you saw the speed, just because you saw the intensity, it was specifically that which was lacking over the previous three losses. And even though the flatness that the Sharks had had was not as bad as some of their previous flat performances, it was still enough that against LA and against Anaheim that the injuries they were inflicting, they did not have the intensity to overcome them. Even last night, when you were down 3-1 in that game, the Sharks still felt like they had a chance to get back into it. And that's the carryover that they have to have in tonight's game. Got to bring it from the minute the puck hits the ice tonight, and they also got to work to create more offense. And one of the things that I liked in the first period was that you saw Erik Karlsson getting shots off, no hesitation. I think the lack of hesitation overall in that first period was something that I definitely appreciated. It was more of a play that relied upon conviction. There was no hesitation. And I don't know why at times this year the Sharks have played with a little bit of hesitation. That was not evident last night, and they have to replicate that as well. Make things happen. Ask questions of the goalie on the other side and try and give yourselves an opportunity. And the lack of offensive production for the Sharks is frustrating because you know that they have goal scorers, and that's why I think that you have an injury to Logan Couture, even though I don't know that it is one specific acute injury. He might just be banged up from head to toe. But his lack of offensive production is frustrating the team right now, but he carried the team early. It's on other guys. I mean, you've got production that's only coming from a certain few guys. And Tomas Hertl, it was nice to see him net that goal, but you got to do more to create opportunities. You got to do more to ask questions of the goalie. You have got to be able to put pucks in the back of the net because the effort that the Sharks put forward last night was good enough for a win. The performance, the attention to detail, it was good enough for a win. But when the night was done, they were not in the lead. Now, like I said, one of the things that we were all frustrated at last night's game was the lack of high-sticking calls, even though one of them you had the player come over and apologize to Vlasic after it happened, but the referees said they didn't see it. Here's Bob Bugner.
I don't know. It's crazy. I mean, you could see it from the bench. I'm not surprised we couldn't see it. They couldn't see it from the ice. But, you know, I think they, what do they have, three or four power plays? We had one. And, you know, I thought our penalty kill obviously got shorthanded. We won the special teams. I think it just, they got some bounces early in that second period, and that was the difference. But, we played well, and we played, stuck to our game plan and had a good mentality.
In a game like this on the road against one of the best teams in your division, you're looking for any advantage you can get. And when you don't get those calls that are going to put you on the power play and give you opportunities, it's got to kill Bob Bugner, right? I mean, because you're thinking, you look at the disparity in terms of special teams, and you still won the special teams battle. If you'd had two more chances on the power play, make it 4-3 as opposed to 4-1, you figure you got to give yourself at least a little bit better of a shot. And all you're asking for is every opportunity you feel you deserve, and that's where I think that Bob Bugner comes into the frustration there. He's just saying, you know, I didn't get the overall opportunities that I felt our team was due. And he's not taking it out on the refs, and he thinks that that's something that can happen, but you hear the frustrations because you want every opportunity. But even saying that, the Sharks' power play has not been good as of late, and in the one opportunity they were given last night, it still wasn't good enough for them to break through. Do you get that goal with two more opportunities? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. I don't know, but at least you would have had the opportunity, and I think that's where Bob Bugner has his frustrations. You need every advantage you can get. You need every little edge to try and get a win on the road against Minnesota when you're trying to fight for a playoff spot. But ultimately, you have to take care of business yourself. And can the Sharks now carry over some of what they did so well from last night's game into tonight's game?
Absolutely. I think that not just the third period, I love the way we started. We were intense. We weren't chasing a game. We got a lead. You know, there was a few minutes there where it went bad. And the second goal was just, just a shot on the ice off a faceoff. Not an incredible goal or anything by any breakdown other than we overskated a puck in the faceoff circle. But that was the difference tonight. I thought we played, we executed our game plan and, I think it was Donato hit a post. I think Banker had a breakaway. Rudy had a breakaway that he got hooked down on. I mean, we had opportunities, and even at the end, Pickles coming down, looking the goalie in the eye. So we had opportunities, and we keep playing like that, good things will happen.
And I think he's right. If the Sharks bring that same type of game into tonight's game against Minnesota, good things will happen. And ultimately, good things on the road against Minnesota means you're giving yourself a shot to win. The Sharks had a chance to win last night, which was much different compared to what we had seen the previous few games against LA and Anaheim. Here's the captain when asked about building upon last night's performance.
Yeah, I thought we gave ourselves a chance to win. I thought defensively we were pretty good. We didn't give up much, but there wasn't much out there offensively. But we got to find a way to do more. We've only scored three goals over the last four games or three games, so we need to find some more offense.
And Logan talked about his production or lack thereof.
No, not really. I think I only had one shot and maybe three attempted, so got to find a way to do more and create more offensively. I thought as a line we had a few good shifts, but not enough. Now we're counted on to score, myself obviously, so not good enough right now.
And this is where we look at what Bob Bugner's been trying to do across the board and changing up lines and trying to make something happen. The Sharks' offense just isn't there last night. The goal from Tomas Hertl, that was an individual effort. The goal from Evander Kane, that was an individual effort. And you look at those individual efforts to come through at certain times, but you need to have things that are generated by the team's offense, by production from the top line to the fourth line, from your D-men. You need to have the offense coming from everybody. It can't just be individual performances that are getting you your goals. You love those individual performances when they come in a moment that you need them, but they only stand out if they are built upon what was previously laid, a foundation where you can say, we were able to create goals A, B, and C, and when we needed a moment of brilliance, Tomas Hertl or Evander Kane was able to come through. That's not what the Sharks have been able to do recently. If we go back to the 6th of April and that Tuesday night loss against Anaheim, the Sharks only scored one goal. Then on Friday night, the 9th, they had a 5-goal explosion against LA, but then the next night they lost 4-2, then they lost 4-0 to Anaheim, then they lost 4-1 to Anaheim. So they've been scoring 1 and 2 goals except for one game, their previous last win against LA on the 9th of April. Otherwise, the offense hasn't been there. Over these four straight losses, they've been outscored 15-5. I mean, I don't have to be some sort of math magician to tell you that that's simply not going to be good enough. The Sharks need to find their offense. It's not that the defense has been perfect either, but they've been falling behind early in games, and that was one thing they rectified in last night's game. But because the offense hasn't been there, they haven't had much to build on. They haven't been able to give themselves much momentum. They had a small bit of momentum in this game last night against Minnesota, taking the early 1-0 lead. Minnesota was able to fight their way back into it by the end of that first period. Then they had the two quick goals in the second period. period, but it didn't feel to me like those previous losses, or it didn't feel to me like one of those second periods that we've seen earlier in the year from the Sharks, where it was just a complete breakdown, where there was a complete lack of effort for the 20 minutes over the second period. Even though the second period was where you gave up those two goals, it was 65 seconds. It wasn't like the Sharks collapsed over the course of an entire 20 minutes of a second period like we had seen at earlier points in the season. It was two quick bang-bang plays in succession, and the Wild suddenly found themselves on top 3-1. And a credit to the Sharks, they kept on coming at the Wild. They kept on trying to get themselves back into the game. It didn't end up in their favor, but we're not going to look back at this one and say it was a lack of effort. We're not going to say it was a bad effort. We're going to say it was a game in which they played well and didn't come out with the result they wanted. And that, again, you got to give credit where credit is due, and the Wild played a slightly better game, but that doesn't mean the Sharks played a bad game. Even Martin Jones, of the three goals that got in, only one of them, I would say, Martin Jones should have stopped. The other two were really good hockey, and that's more of what we saw from Martin Jones previously, where if you were going to score against him when he was red hot, it was going to be an honest goal. It was going to be something that you had to earn, and that's what the Sharks are going to need, and that's why I predict that Martin Jones will be out there again tonight on the second night of a back-to-back, of which he has good career stats on when playing on the second night of a back-to-back, or rather consecutive nights on back-to-back games. You know, my take going into this series was that you had to split against Minnesota and you had to split against Las Vegas. That means they've got to win tonight, and I think you got to give yourself your best opportunity to win, and that's not a take against Kojinosh, but Martin Jones is the better and more experienced goalie, and he didn't look like he was lacking in sharpness last night or energy, so in my opinion, he'll probably get a go again tonight, because you got to find a way to get 2 points out of this series against Minnesota. All right, we're going to take a break. You're on Morning Tide.
Coors Light wants to help you catch a Sharks game from the best seats in the house. Just share a photo of your Sharks at-home game setup to sjsharks.com/homeice for a chance to win Coors Light Silver Seats tickets, Sharks gear, and more. Winners will be chosen weekly, so post a pic showing how you watch the Sharks to sjsharks.com/homeice today. 2021 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Must be 21 or older. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Breakaway, moving in, Kane by himself, score! Evander Kane steals the puck, moves in by himself at center, and scores into the net to make it 3-2.
Yeah, he's played hard. I mean, you know, the penalty kill, he does a good job. Him and I usually go out there a lot, and we definitely take pride in it together. I think scored a lot of big goals lately throughout the year. He's been counted on, you know, to score a lot of goals for us and create offense. So did a good job, scored a big goal, and just unfortunately we couldn't find the third one.
That's Evander Kane's shorthanded goal, and Logan Couture bringing us back here on Morning Tide on a Saturday a.m. And yeah, Evander Kane continues to come through with big performances for the San Jose Sharks, and he got them right back into that game last night. And, you know, Evander Kane has been one of the most, if not the most, consistent performer for the San Jose Sharks this year. And there are maybe some reasons why he would not have been the Sharks' most consistent performer this year, but he's been able to keep everything off the ice, and his performance out there over the course of 60 minutes has been very, very solid. And I think that's the most impressive thing that I see out of Evander Kane, is that he was able to make amends for the mistakes, or not make amends, but he's been able to rectify the problems that he had earlier in the year, specifically with going to the box so often and taking bad penalties and putting the team in a bad way. He responded to the challenge that Bob Bugner gave him, and Bob Bugner was very, very clear. He talked about it early in the year after games, saying that Kane simply could not go to the box that often, and he responded. He took responsibility for his game and made the necessary corrections.
Yeah, Kaner's had a good year for us, and you know, he's a guy that always seems to have legs and brings that every night. He plays fast, and I think that's a big advantage for him. I thought tonight he got involved in the game physically, and I had a talk with him yesterday about making sure that's part of his game. We've cleaned up the area, the discipline, and after the whistle stuff, but you know, being a little harder to play against, and you know, and he did that tonight. I think he was ready to play. He was good all night. You know, and Tommy scored a big goal. It was good to see. So you know, we got some production, but you know, I think all in all, I think that you know, we had a tough couple shifts with our fourth line on the ice, and it hurt us a little bit. And you know, at the end of the day, we played a pretty good road game.
So now you have to figure out how you can build upon what you did so well last night, and that includes identifying what Minnesota did well. Here's Cooch.
They clogged up the middle of the ice and in the neutral zone in the offensive zone for us. Their defensive zone, they really didn't give much. And when we got some momentum, we gave it back to our points, and they blocked a lot of shots. They're, I believe, the number one shot blocking team in this league, and they proved it tonight. We had numerous looks where they jumped in front of the lanes and blocked it. And, you know, it's dedication and a team that wants to win when they're diving in front of pucks and playing that way. But maybe we got to find a way to shoot off net and look for sticks. There were chances in their slot. We had a few good looks. We just got to hit the net. You know, we hit the net. There's going to be rebounds, and tonight we just missed the net a few too many times.
Andy expounded upon maybe what they need to do more of in tonight's game.
Yeah, definitely a shoot first mentality. I think too much on the outside. I mean, that's been going on for a while now. I don't know where our power play sits in the league, but it certainly can't be too high up there. So those goals, when you're struggling, you just got to fire pucks at the net and get bodies there. And power play, you got one more guy than they do. So got to find a way to outnumber them at the net. And like I said, they block shots on their kill, and they did a good job.
And it's tough to judge the Sharks in terms of how they've been able to make adjustments from one game to the next, because it's not like a typical playoff series where you've got a day off in between games. A lot of these two game sets, you know, on the weekends, it's Friday, Saturday, Friday, Saturday. It's hard to really judge exactly what a team is able to do from one game to the next when you have that fatigue factor, when you have a change of goalie, when you have just everything coming bang, bang at you so rapidly. But that's what the Sharks have to figure out. They've got to make those adjustments from one game to the next. And the other reason it's been hard to judge with the Sharks is they've had these stretches of being a better team and being a worse team and kind of being up and down. And overall, the progression of what we've seen from the Sharks has been positivity. It's been better from one game to the next, but it's not been a consistent linear progression. It's been over the course of time, two steps forward and a step back, and that's how we're going to judge the Sharks. But, you know, this is the stretch run. There isn't time for them to wait for things to improve. There isn't time for them to figure things out. They've got to be better in tonight's game than they were last night. They've got to make sure their offense creates more opportunities. They've got to be better on defense. They've got to be harder and tougher. They can't have these mental lapses. And in terms of trying to break down that Minnesota defense, that just means you've got to pepper the net. Put shots on net, make something happen. Unless a puck is in play, you'll never know if anything can happen. And that means that from the start of the game, there has got to be an offensive first mentality where you're going to gain momentum defensively over what you do in the offensive zone. Fire the puck, get bodies deep, create chaos, and see what happens. Minnesota has a little bit of breathing room, so the intensity on the second night of a back-to-back might not be the same. I mean, they are pretty well stuck in there in that third spot. They're 7 points behind Vegas. I am sure they would like to be able to chase them down, but if we are being realistic, they have a nice pad of 11 points over the fourth place team, so they are comfortable with where they are. They could be higher, obviously, but I don't think they are in as pressing a situation as you might otherwise find Vegas, who's trying to chase down Colorado, or St. Louis, who's simply trying to fight for their playoff lives. Same story for Arizona. Minnesota is the most relatively comfortable team right now, so you have to figure out whether or not that will allow them to play a freer and looser game, or if you can take advantage of the fact that they are not in a do-or-die mentality every single night right now. And what does that mean once again for the Sharks? Simply, you need to have your best players play like your best players. And I'm looking at Erik Karlsson. I'm looking at Logan Couture, and even though with Logan Couture, I do acknowledge that there are some injury factors at play, he's clearly banged up. I am sure that Bob Bugner wants to give him a night off, and I am sure Logan Couture's pride is far too great to take a night off, but I do wonder if it wouldn't do him a world of good just to get a little bit of rest, but that's not going to happen, in my opinion. But you need Erik Karlsson, you need Logan Couture. You know, last night you had Tomas Hertl and Evander Kane break through, but you needed more. You need Kevin LeBanc, and you need some of the other guys out there that are younger, that are more of these developing players to come through with goals, to come through with production. You can't have just the big guys or the big names or the high-paid guys as the ones who are producing. You need to have that team effort. And like I said, you look at the aggregate, getting outscored 15-5 over this four-game losing streak, that simply means you're not getting nearly enough offensive production. You know, I know Brent Burns has had some nice games in terms of assists, but you need him to come through with scoring goals. You need Kevin LeBanc to come through by finding the back of the net. Timo Meier, I mean, I like the fact that he was playing with more physical intensity last night, and I don't know why that's been an up-and-down thing with Timo Meier. It seems like one game he's physically engaged, and the next game he's not. And I don't know why that seems to be a point of contention, and Bob Bugner has talked about that, and they talk about it during the broadcast, and you can see it when Timo Meier is playing a more physical impact, the impact that he does have on the ice versus when he's not playing that more physical game. And that's got to be every night. And I'm not calling out Timo Meier specifically here, but it's something that I'm seeing. It's like Bob Bugner challenged Evander Kane to play a more physical game last night. You could see that. It paid off in terms of what we saw on the ice, and it was a big part of why the Sharks had a better night. Same story with Timo Meier. He was more physically engaged last night. The Sharks had a better game. You've got big bodies out there on the ice. You need to make sure it comes through. Timo Meier, Evander Kane, Tomas Hertl, bigger, stronger bodies, able to make their physical impact felt on the ice. These are the guys who need to come through with production. They need to come through with making their presence felt out there on the ice. And if you do those things, you hope that it will lead to a win. And usually when we see those things come through, at the very least, it leads to a Sharks having a better performance. That was what we saw last night. It worked. You were close. You maybe didn't get the win, but it was not because your effort wasn't there. It wasn't because you played a bad game. It was just that the Wild were that much better. They've got to take that mentality into tonight's game again. And then the other guy whose efforts I always appreciate, but the production hasn't been there, is Ryan Donato. I mean, I'm just waiting for him to really break out. And there's no better time right now. He started off the season nicely, then went cold, then had a couple of games where he was scoring some goals, but now he's cold once again. And Ryan Donato, for the Sharks to be successful, they need him to be successful. They need him to find the back of the net. And when you watch Donato, he's not afraid to get into the tough spaces. He'll go with the net. He'll go and do the dirty work. It's just a matter of him finding the back of the net. And I don't know if he's not being put in the best position to succeed. I don't know how banged up he is. I'm sure, like everyone, he is dealing with some nagging injuries. But he is a guy that I specifically look at. And I feel at this point I am relatively disappointed with the production that he's been able to bring out there. Because I've watched what he's capable of. And it just feels like you're not getting the performance from him that you think he's capable of. And Bob Bugner is challenging him and sending him a very direct message by putting him on that fourth line. He knows he needs to be better. The Sharks, when they acquired him, expected him to be better. If people like Meier and Carlson and Donato come up with big performances down the stretch for the Sharks, we are not going to harp on the issues we saw earlier in the year. It might not completely erase some things that they were incapable of doing earlier in the year, but I think we're going to look at it and say, okay, they didn't have a great start, or they didn't have a great segment here, or there was relative inconsistency, but when the team needed it the most, they came through with the performances that allowed the Sharks to be into the fight in the final weeks of the season. And we are in those final few weeks of the season. There is no better time to see Timo Meier and Erik Karlsson and Ryan Donato continue to step up, just like there's no better time for Logan Couture to refine his offensive game, or Brent Burns to start scoring goals in a flurry, or anyone to be more productive offensively. But when I woke up this morning, I was just thinking that, damn, you know, you played well. You did enough to win that game, and it's frustrating that you didn't. And that's why the offensive production's got to be there. You've got to be able to find the ways to score those goals, to give yourself that opportunity to take advantage of an effort like that. Because in a year like this, when the schedule is so weird, when things are so rapid and overall not giving you room for rest, when the effort is there, when the sharpness is there, you've got to find a way to win. And most of the time this year, when the Sharks have played that well, they have been able to walk away with the win. And I'm sure for all those guys, that's got to be frustrating to be in this chase for a playoff spot, to put forth a good effort, much better than what you've done the last few nights, and still have it be not good enough. That's going to be where the leadership, that's going to be where Logan Couture, that's going to be where Bob Bugner is going to have the hardest part, is getting the team back up again. And I know that everyone thinks that there's no question of whether or not these professionals are going to be back up for the game. And I'm not saying that they won't be, but it's got to be frustrating to put forth that effort and not get rewarded with it. And I've talked about that earlier in the year when the Sharks were playing well enough to win games and they weren't getting those wins. You could see it wear on the guys. And when they showed the Sharks kind of sitting on the bench and leaving the ice at the end of last night's game, there was just that look of almost disbelief where the guys were saying to themselves, I can't believe we didn't win this game. Does that fester in terms of frustration, or does it lead them to double down and come back with a response that's just as good, if not better, than what we saw on Friday night? It's definitely going to be hard to do so on the second night of a back-to-back because they're going to be tired, they're going to be sore. Hopefully they were all able to get a good night of rest and not looking at the tape and getting frustrated at the fact that they didn't win that game. But you've got to look at the schedule and know that you've got two games against Vegas coming up next. This is your opportunity to get 2 points. You got to split this series. You got to find a way to split that series with Las Vegas and see what happens after that. You know, next week, because of the schedule change, you get a Friday night off. You don't have to play the Friday, Saturday back-to-back. So then after those two with Vegas, you're home versus Minnesota, then home versus two against Arizona, then you've got four straight against Colorado, two on the road, two at home, two against Arizona, and then one against Las Vegas. It's a fight to the finish, in that in no way, shape, or form is an easy stretch of games for anyone, let alone the San Jose Sharks. But as I alluded to earlier, there is no better time for the Sharks to step up with their best performances of the year. But the task might simply be too great. All right, that wraps it up for this edition of Morning Tide. I will see you all tomorrow morning after Game 2 against Minnesota. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.
3-on-1 developing for Minnesota. There's a shot off the goalpost. Rebound, what a save by Martin Jones. He dove down and got the rebound of that play that went off the goalpost. Johansson just can't believe it.